The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Take a deep breath. Get it.
Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out.
Ugh.
Machine head. God, I hated that band with a passion.
I don't remember what their...
Bush. Breathe in, breathe... I'm a machine head.
Oh, that's
Who
right.
Who gives a shit? Shut up.
That was one of those bands like I had to hate when it came out. It's like, oh, this is just MTV branded alternative. And then I hear a song later in life. I'm like, oh, man, all I remember is all the times I sat around pretending to hate that song when I was just about, like, now looking back, I'm like, oh, yeah, good thing. Boy, did I prove everybody I was a cool dude. Boy, was I, hey, anybody out there remember what a cool dude I was?
Were you
because,
a cool
because
dude?
Because I didn't like Bush in 1997.
No, I know it's hack to hate on some of that stuff. And a lot of that mainstream stuff I did like. I liked then, and it still holds up. But there's some stuff that was like, ugh. Even not even the band's like, oh, I can't believe I like them. But like, I hated them from the get-go.
You want to know a song that just got me earlier in the summer? For like a road song, and it is the... Not anything. I don't think you would guess it at all. It is.
Well, I got to have a hint, right?
It's a country song.
Okay. Wait, what was the setup again?
A song that I listened to. Like, this is my kind of road, my on the road jam from early summer.
Okay. And it's an older country song?
No. Brand new.
A brand new, like mainstream country?
Yep.
See, I wouldn't know any of that garbage.
Smoke Break by Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is. I know who she is. I don't know that I could name a song of hers.
Some of you can now. It's called Smoke Break, uh-huh. And it's about how she doesn't drink. And it's all like stories, but it's all about like it's hard to be a good dad and a good Christian and a good American. Sometimes I just need a drink, even though I don't drink. And I'd love to have a smoke. Even though I don't smoke, and it's like, what a repressed fucking asshole you're singing about. That's just like, oh, God, life's tough, and all I want is a drink, but instead I'll just pray to Jesus. But it's so catchy. It's such a catchy song.
You know what else she's doing? That whole format.
you poked at me hard right now.
Oh, you poked the bear right
what
now.
What else she do? What's she doing?
Okay, that whole format is based on pandering. Hey, this is our audience. This is the stuff y'all want to hear about. High school and the American flag and pickup trucks and cold beer on a Friday night and a pair of jeans that fit just right. Fuck yourself.
I know.
It's all pandering bullshit. You know what she's doing there? She's pandering to two demographics. Hey, I totally get why you guys drink and smoke, and I wish I could do that, but I'm a good Christian moral lady, and I don't do that stuff.
It's a very passive-aggressive... But she was talking about the people in her songs, the portrait she was painting
with. Of course she
was. The portrait she was painting with her words.
And
right?
I've never heard the song. It might be fantastic.
I think one lady was a mom, and then the other guy was he was the first person to go to college without driving a tractor. Which I guess everybody else in his family could have gone to college, but they had to drive the tractor there. It's a sad day when you're too dumb to interpret country lyrics.
I hate that stuff
with a passion, too.
I'm not just being cool, cynical guy.
No.
It's garbage.
It's McDonald's.
Ugh.
It's McDonald's music.
And again, I've never heard the song you're talking about. It may be great. I don't mean to take my anger out on her.
No,
I'm just saying,
I'm agreeing with you.
It's insulting, especially... I think it hits me harder as a Southern dude.
Put the bear down. Put the barrel down, you gorilla.
Just,
I get it.
You know, we're just all on the same team. I'm just on fire for the Lord and on fire for this country.
I'm the most regular guy you ever met.
I'm just like you, except now.
Playing to 30,000 people and being a millionaire.
With their I can't even name the names. Bucky Fuckington, whoever, these dipshits. All right. If you're going to hate something, you need to educate yourself on it. So that's on me. I can't even pick it. Sam Hunt. Is that a guy? Luke Bryan.
You know, all these silly gene, faux poser
Southern dipshits.
Jeff Fentz.
Is that a guy?
No. Oh. I thought of a first name and then something nearby.
Oh, thank God.
Bill Curtins.
Thank God for stuff. And I don't mean to make this a whole music rant.
Natasha Leggero had one of my funniest jokes about that. Just like the reason like hip-hop and mainstream country always top of the charts because it's a two group of people too dumb to figure out how to steal music. It's like, that's still one of my favorite jokes.
Oh, God.
It's the same thing. Yeah, it all panders. So bad. But also, just because what I listen to isn't on, like, all the shit I listen to is still pandering. All my punk rock stuff of like, it's all this sincere, like, it's hard, but we'll get by and keep on walking and raise your fists because we're going to be champions of our hearts and all this. It's still the same shit. Like, it exists everywhere. Cliches and hype. It's just what's the most palatable to, like, what can you phase out in an office?
Yeah. Well, and I think this is the thing, too, though, with mainstream country. And I know some of those idiots write their own bullshit and, hey, way to go. But most of it is written by other people.
Yeah.
And, like, art, whether it be comedy or what music, like, okay, so now it's just karaoke at this point.
You know what? I would get mad at that, but then I watch movies that aren't written by the actors, so.
I get that, but that's a different medium.
I think that's more accepted in country music. It's a given that some people are country music songwriters.
Well, that's my point. Why is that okay?
Because they sound like shit when they sing their songs.
No, I'll take it. I mean,
because hey, you know the song that you write that's real good? Do you want to make $8 playing that at a bar, or do you want to sell it to this 19-year-old?
No, I get it. I get why it happens, but that's also part of why it's just, it's fucking garbage. Just, ugh. Oh, ugh. At least an idiot singing his own thoughts. It's still his, you know, he wrote it or she wrote it. But I'm
We've
sorry.
Never
I'm
even
just upset.
Introduced the podcast yet. It sounds like we just.
Don't listen to that guy. If you like country, listen to Sturgill Simpson, Jason Isbell, Drive By Truck. Good shit. That's the other thing.
Good versions out. Like
there's good versions of stuff. Yes.
That was like the argument I had with my old roommate about him bitching about what movies were always popular. Transformers gets made because people are getting dumber, and that's why that's popular. And he would come home with a bag of Carl's Jr. every day. I'm like, there's a chef saying the same thing by watching people just eat Carl's Jr. when if you want to spend $2 more, you can get an actual quality-made hamburger.
It's a great point.
So I can't get mad at it.
It's just insulting that, and I know it, I'm not cynical music nerd elitist.
No, you got get let it out.
But
man.
Jesus, it's just it's the dumbing down of America. Mm-hmm. In particular, it's the dumbing down of the Southern middle class because that's mainly that demographic.
Welcome to the Boogie Monster. Ugh. Popular country is mind control. We've already spent about 8 minutes on the subject. What if that's it? Give them the fucking cheeseburgers. Give them cheeseburgers and Garth Brooks. And we won't even have to activate the Manchurian candidates. Half of them will shoot themselves cleaning their guns. Listen, we got the hip-hop contingency. They're killing each other. But these dumb fucking crackers, we got to get them looking down the barrel of their own 12 gauges more often.
Wow.
I think I got a peanut M&M stuck in this one.
My dad accidentally shot his gun off when I was a teenager while he was cleaning it. Thank God he had it pointed at the ground. And my dad's a military dude. And he knows about it. And he was always preaching me, teaching me, you know, this is how you do this. And then boom.
My friend's dad. Yeah, there's like a hole in his siding. Like, what happened? He's like, oh, my dad's crossbow went off in the garage, shot through a window across the yard into the house.
Oh, my God.
There's some prepper show. It was like, dude, I'm like, oh, cool. Let's see what these preppers are. Let's see if they're making fun of them. The show didn't have to make fun of him. Like, the second episode, the dude blew off his own thumb trying to teach his kids how to shoot guns. I was like, ah, God damn. Like, there goes that plan.
Jeez. Well, hey, buddy.
What? Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I can't stop. In my head, I can't stop thinking. And there's like a Pixies song where he says, like, broadcasting or something. But in my head, I just keep hearing, podcasting. And it just stuck in my head. And it's hurting my brain. It's taking out some of the wrinkles up there.
I understand.
Well, it's the Boogie Monster podcast.
Do you want me to complain about here. Something else, or do you want me to save that for later?
You did a good job getting pissed.
No, I've got other stuff. I'll save it for later if you're trying to, you know, do our thing here.
Is it
here.
Music? I mean, the theme music, or is the theme complaining about shit?
It's about road rage and rules and politeness behind the wheel.
Okay.
I'll talk about that.
Well, I was going to ask, while we talk about what we've eaten, let's talk about the worst things we've eaten.
Man, you asked me that right before we hit record, and that is a great question. Yeah. Now, do you mean worst meals I've had as far as, like, that I paid for, restaurant experiences?
Yeah, yeah.
Or just terrible food that I have chosen to eat?
No, that's – I meant more like where you – like, I'm always the most polite. I won't send food back.
Uh-huh.
I'm just – but there's only been a couple times. One time is that, of course, it was like a tourist place on Venice Beach. But we got chicken wings, and I think all they did was deep fry wings that somebody already ate, because they were just like bone with breading on them. And I just had to call the waitress and be like, "You saw these when you brought them to us. Can I invite you to have one of these?"
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, those look. I'm like, they look fucking terrible. Like, we're not gonna pay for this at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just flat out, like, not. Do you think you could take them? Like, we're not paying. This isn't food anymore.
Exactly. And I see both sides of it, and I operate on both
not
sides.
Not trying to treat her like a jerk, like she made them, but also you watch that come to a table and, like, just visibly when chicken wings just look like these aren't chickens. These are just dehydrated birds.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Like, for the most part, I'm a very low maintenance dude, and like, I'm nice to, so I rarely send food back, you know, because it's like, whatever, just shut up and eat it. Most of the time I'm just happy to be eating something.
I think about my personal history of what I've eaten, and like, I can't.
But when something is done so poorly, there's that line that they sometimes cross where it's like, yeah, listen, I'm still paying full price for this. Okay, I asked for it medium rare, and this is extra well. So maybe somebody back there could learn to do their fucking job worth a shit.
Well, if it's a steak item, too, you're spending a few bucks on that.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't say that, but I'm thinking that, like, okay. It goes back to have a little pride in your job, no matter what it is. If you're the line cook at Chili's, you're probably not thrilled about it. But guess what? That's what your reality is today. So maybe do your job a little bit. I'm not saying it's got to be perfect. I'm not saying
when
you pay $11
I don't know
at
how
Chili's.
Much you can nitpick at a Chili's.
Well, exactly. But again, I get it. It's not fine dining. I'm not paying $90 for this steak. Yeah. But it's still $12, you know, and it's still way off. I'm not sending it back if it's barely off.
I think the mistake is you got a steak at Chili's.
Yeah, although they used
to
have
the awesome blossom blooming onion thing.
See, come on, that's not even Chili's. Awesome blossom is.
That's why I said both.
Blooming onions, Outback.
That's why I said
you
both.
You should know that.
They're the same shit, man.
No, it's very different.
How much is Outback just making fun of Australian people with their commercials now?
That's true.
Like that fake ass Australian. Oh, good day, mate. It's like you're just being mean.
Yeah, that is true. You couldn't pull that off with another ethnicity or nationality.
No, I try, sure, but pull it off, no.
Okay, what was the
question?
Not
about to do my spokesperson for Panda Express.
Imagine that. Imagine if there was a Chinese food version of that. There's no way that would be tolerated.
Oh, you just can't say anything.
It'd be hilarious.
You hit a gong and you bow.
Okay, can I say this?
Shit.
Now I'll preface this by saying we may need to edit this out. But understand
all
what
Asian
I'm saying.
Remake of classic film starting with Gong with the Wind.
What I'm saying is... Okay. All right. I'll say this first. A lot of people say I talk funny. A lot of people say I have an accent.
Yeah.
That's fine. You're probably right.
All right.
Okay. Because it's different and it's amusing to someone who does not speak like me. All right. So there. I'm the butt of that joke. That being said.
There you go.
I drove some more Asians recently, and it's just, again, it's, we've... No, listen.
We have to delete this.
I love Asian people. I love them. I love everybody. But you can't say that when there's a group of them in a minivan driving and being driven by me, you can't say when there's six or seven Asians.
Boy, there's a walk full.
And I did say them, and I know that's wrong. I just mean, you know, I can't correct my grammar. It's funny when they really get going and they're in a heated debate or heated conversation in their native tongue. Sonically and phonetically, it is funny to me. I'm not saying they're lesser people or they're stupid. I'm just saying, wow, that's a language, that's a dialect that I don't normally
hear.
Something
different is very animated.
Yeah.
You could always tell in Korea, you could wind up telling the Chinese people from the Korean people, because Korean, and okay, we're just obviously we're being stereotypical right now, but like quiet, more mellow. And then I was on a bus ride, it was just five, like the Chinese ladies, and they would just scream in each other's mouths. they would just get right up and just scream. Not even in each other's faces. That's how close. The words went into each other's mouths and came out at a greater level of volume than originally.
And were you witnessing an argument, or did this seem normal?
No, just getting along.
See,
I'm agreeing. I can't imagine what an argument looks
exactly.
like.
Exactly. And you can't talk about this because people only hear the buzzwords.
We're talking about it.
It's not racist. Like, they're great people. I'm not saying they're less than me. I'm saying the way they speak, it's different than what I'm accustomed to, so yeah. It's amusing. I drive a lot of Asian people around, and a lot of times they'll start talking, and it's just funny. It's hilarious, and I want to hear more of it. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying I'm – like I opened with, put the shoe on the other foot. People get a kick out of dumb old Dave. I thought – I know I have a bit of a Southern accent.
I sure every, get a kick this, out of you.
Every third person in my car, in my van, when I'm driving Lyft, literally every third or fourth person will say – So, where are you from?
The rest of them are these hilarious Asians.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm from Georgia. And they go, yeah, I thought so. And it's just like, oh, yeah, okay. I have an accent or whatever. I mean, in Georgia, I'm friggin', if I had a reference point of somebody who spoke very...
you're like a linguist.
Yeah, I'm a linguist in Georgia. But out here, I'm a friggin' hillbilly. Because some people are kind of rude about it, like, where are you from? And I'm like, yeah, I get it. Shut up. So that being said, yeah, it's amusing to them. Asian people, when they get really heated and really rolling, very amusing.
You're enjoying the diversity.
I enjoy it.
So then phonetically, that's not a crime.
It's a carnival for my ears, man.
Stop pointing out details. You're making it worse. Mm-hmm. You enjoy diversity. You welcome other. I'm trying to fucking repair your image right now. You enjoy. You welcome a diverse group of people into your
lift. Oh, I
with
love
open
them.
Arms.
With open arms.
Yeah.
I'm not kicking. I'm not saying, oh, I don't drive. No, welcome aboard. I'm gonna get a kick out of this.
That's also probably the policy of Lyft that you can't do.
My point is, it comes from a point, a place of amusement and appreciation, not hate.
We almost had it. You had to go back to.
Should I shut up?
You had to go back to amusement. I saved you. I pulled you back in a boat. And
is
you,
that
you
the
just,
bad part that I'm saying?
Jumped right
it's
back in.
Well, it is.
All right. I shouldn't judge anything. Stoned as shit right now.
Ooh. I say nope today.
What happened to the worst food you ever ate, Dave? If it helps erase this your fetishization of the Asian people, That's the worst food I ever ate, Native American food.
Okay. I don't think I've ever had Native American food because I just don't like those people. That's where it really, that's where I go for it.
We found the one. It had to be in there somewhere. No, I was on tour with, this was years ago, with Ron Babcock, very funny friend of mine, Ron Babcock. And we were in a town called Tuba City, which sounds like a cool store rather than a bleak town.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I think it was a Navajo, I don't remember which tribal restaurant over there, but we were both like, let's try this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's go eat at this place, try something new. And why? I know they had like a restaurant. Like, I've never even thought of what Native American food would be.
Mm-hmm.
And we both sat down with this excitement of like, and it was definitely a helping of like being proud of ourselves. Like, look at us
trying new things.
Look at, we're here because sorry. And give me the full spiel. And I forget what he got, and I got mutton, which I didn't know what mutton was.
It's old sheep.
It's old sheep.
Yeah.
Is it lamb? Yum. Mutton.
Why does it have to be just old?
I don't know, because it sucks. But I got mutton, and it took us a while. We had to get through like half the meal before either one of us would admit it wasn't good.
Uh-huh.
But it was this whole, like you first get food and you want to like it. You're like, wow, oh, wow, this is, what a new flavor. Like you never, like if your first reaction isn't yum, you're in trouble. And so we got through half of it after we're just like, this is bad food. This is not good food.
How was it prepared?
I don't. I think they just found it.
No, but I mean, how was it presented? On your plate, was it like a steak or was it like a pot roast?
It was like chunks of it, I think. I remember chunks. You could fry bread. The fry bread was good.
Uh-huh.
But mutton, it was just like, it was just old meat. It was just old meat.
Just chewy, tough.
Yeah, and Ron got some sort of stew and it was kind of just, ugh. I'm like, oh God, everything's nothing's going good for you guys.
Oh, well, is that? I mean, well, here's the question: that's not the only meat they have access to. Like, usually, cuisine is what that area has access to.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if
that region
supposed to be authentic, then yeah, that's what they do.
But so they just raise sheep and.
Well, all right. Here's a question: is a sheep like sheep? Sheep are sheep. Like a wool one you have for wool, is the same one you'd eat.
I would imagine so.
So maybe that's why they only eat the older ones. Is 'cause you got to keep the young virile ones around to get all the best wool you can off them, and once they're done with that, you chow down.
Man, you may have just cracked that.
I got a couple.
Crack that nut.
I got a couple ideas banging
that's
around.
That's pretty good. Worst meal I ever had. See, that's part of my problem as a robust fella. There's no food I won't eat.
Robust.
There's barely food I don't like. Like, I like pretty much.
I think I tried to get this out of you one time. And you're like,
I mean, yeah, there's not a type of food.
There was something you said you didn't eat. It was wasn't it like sort of vegetable or something?
I don't care for the taste and the flavor of cantaloupe. That's about it.
That's like the closest thing to candy nature can give you.
It tastes like eating a candle. It's too soapy. It tastes like soap. No thanks. I mean, I'll eat it. I don't hate it. But
what about?
There's literally, I mean, that's not a bit. There's nothing I won't eat. I mean, you know, if you want to get crazy with some of the freak foods and the brains and intestines stuff. I mean, I've eaten chitlins. I've eaten pig's feet. I think I've eaten brain, cabeza. Yeah. That's brain.
I've tried that stuff and been more of not pleasantly surprised, but as far as just like an upsetting experience in a restaurant or something, where like you should be closed down for what you've
done. I've definitely had those. All right, one that comes to mind, it was somewhere in Illinois. I was on a tour, and man, I think we talked about this last time. The buffet, I love any buffet, just in theory alone.
Well, it solves one of my greatest stresses is trying to pick one item.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm the idiot who always, I asked the server like this. I try to just give them two options and tell them to pick one for me. I don't go like, what's good?
Yeah.
I give them two options and let them, and I just trust them.
But I went to just some $8 a plate lunch.
Yeah.
Chinese buffet somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Illinois. Maybe like going towards Wisconsin. And it was lunchtime, but it looked like they had prepared all this food the day before and just left it out for 24 hours.
That's
just
probably
the worst, like gelatinous orange chicken and just noodles that were just cold and just almost of a different texture.
Yeah,
and
that then point.
Some of these real crappy Chinese buffets, they make that attempt at like, oh, here's a DiGiorno pizza. And here's a tray of French fries.
Like the kid's
yeah,
meal.
Yeah, chicken nuggets. And I mean, it was just – and I understand what I'm getting into when you go to a $7 Chinese buffet. But, like,
yeah,
this was, like, really?
I mean, it's poor food for poor people, a lot of those things. They can make it for cheap, and it goes out there. There's an Indian buffet. You ever take the 5 up to San Francisco, and there's that one, like, in the middle of, like, the – Central Valley and all the nut farms and everything.
Uh-huh.
It was just an Indian restaurant off the side of the highway.
Really? I've been there.
I always want to be like, man, I wonder if that's the best Indian restaurant. Because it's like in the middle of like kind of who would eat? It's like farmer types, but then it's also the immigrant population that's there working in the fields. But then it's just an Indian restaurant. It's been there ever since I've driven up there. I'm like, I want to try it one day. I wonder, it's probably like amazing. Let me go on Yelp. And it's just like, this place is fucking terrible. Like, don't, especially if you're on a highway. Because as soon as you get back on the highway, you're going to shit your car. Don't eat this. I'm like, oh, I got so disappointed. I wanted to be so good.
I love Indian food too.
I know, man.
Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt.
Oh, there was just something. I forget what it was that was about a buffet issue.
I mean, if we got time, my favorite food, question to answer. But as far as like genres of food, I feel like it's.
I think they're called cuisines, Dave.
Yeah, cuisines.
Genres. I love a good burger noir.
It's a I feel like it's underappreciated Cajun food, Cajun and Creole food.
Yeah?
Oh my God. And obviously, you know, it's a regional thing to get it authentic.
French Southern. Yeah.
Jeez, dude. Literally I spent a lot of time thinking about this and I digged deep into my heart, digged.
Yeah, it's the letters are all there.
Doug. I thought about this for weeks after it happened. And then one day came to the realization, like, yep, that's the best meal.
This is like how people find their wives.
Yeah. Well, think about it.
It's after years of knowing, you're like, she's the one.
This is the one. But do the math.
Were you having a meal when you realized that? Or were you just remembering all the great times you've had with Cajun food over the years? I picture you and just a bowl of gumbo, like, in a park. Just Dave and some etouffee on a Ferris wheel.
Oh, man.
But then he's fighting. Oh, he's fighting with some crawfish.
But think about simple math, and I know these aren't exact numbers. 1,000 meals a year, simple math. 3 times a day.
How is that simple?
365 days.
It sounds made up. 1,000 meals a year.
No. 3 meals a day for 300 and something days.
So simple, I made it up.
Is 1,000 for simple math. All right? 1,000 meals a year times 39 years. 39,000 meals I've had. And to narrow it down to the best one.
Your bracket's finished.
Yeah. And I achieved that a few months ago.
I feel like there should be some sound effects for Cajun food.
Yeah. It was I was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And it was a little mom and pop roadside Cajun place called Belus.
Yeah.
Belluez. If you're within a half a day's drive of Baton Rouge, it is worth it. I mean, just the first of all, I went into it knowing that Cajun food and Creole food, some of my favorite, and they just knocked it out of the park. I had crawfish etouffee. I had mustard greens. I had red beans and rice with, they call it tasso ham.
Classics.
Oh, my gosh. Just the freshest ingredients, perfectly seasoned. Just, it was mind-blowing. And then I still mispronounce it, even though I love Cajun food. Bodine.
Oh, boudin?
Boudin. Still always miss it. Boudin. I believe that is how you pronounce it. The kind of the little rice thing stuffed with.
I thought that was sausage.
It's sausage and rice. There's rice in it. It's kind of like rice stuffed sausage with other stuff, and they fry it. And oh my!
Hey, could you just put all kinds of stuff in sausage casing?
Man, but yeah, that's Cajun and Creole food. And I don't claim to be an expert on it because I don't get it enough, but I do make an incredible gumbo. And just the Reader's Digest version, if you don't know the difference between Cajun and Creole, they're both very similar, but Creole was more of the upper class version of that French Southern influence, Louisiana stuff.
A little fancier.
Where Cajun is more of kind of the rural, middle to lower class, working class cuisine. So, but I love them both. But honestly, Cajun is what I have more experience in. And just crawfish etouffee, gumbo, blackened catfish.
I don't like crawfish.
I love crawfish.
Too much work, too little
I get
reward.
That. I get that. But in an etouffee or something where someone's already done the work for you.
Oh, yeah, somebody else going to pick those little boogers out. I'll
the meat is delicious. Yeah. No, I get not being into that. The same way I used to not give a shit about crab legs. And then one day I just had an epiphany and I grew into it. And now I'll spend all day cracking crab legs.
I love a crab leg. Mm. Had crab legs last weekend.
Did you? Where at?
I forget. It was in Catalina. It was when we were there. I was like, give me fancy. And normally, and I was stoned. And normally I can't eat like food that's shaped like the animal.
Hmm.
Like if the food looks like the animal while I'm eating, I can't eat it high. Like chicken's weird.
Just chicken. What do you mean the food looks like?
Because I'm eating
animal.
A bone and everything, and instead of getting into the manly look, I'm eating a food thing. I'm like, I see its little leg. I see how it walks.
For a second, I thought you meant the way like Burger King will make their stupid chicken nuggets in the shape of a chicken for the kids.
That's fucked up.
You know, or like when a barbecue place,
that's like
their mascot's a pig.
It's like getting cremated and then having them arrange your ashes in the shape of a body anyway. That's morose, man. But the crab legs, I don't know what. It's like such a little treasure hunt.
Yeah.
And you get the little toe parts. Whoo!
Man. Well, let me ask you this, Kyle.
Yeah.
All this food talk.
Yeah.
Do you think the day will ever come that we run out of food?
Oh, good. Transition. This intro took 32 minutes. That's what if we designed it that way? That we're going, all right, let's do a little, real elaborate intro. Well, okay.
Because as a lover of food, just not even the consequence of that scares me. It's just, you mean I can't eat my stuff no more? Well, that scares the hell out of me.
1,000 meals a year.
It scares the hell out of me.
Well, this does have to do with also last week. We were getting into Montauk Experiment, all that stuff. And the guy, Al Bielek. B-I-E-L-E-K, I believe. Mm-hmm. One of the guys on the Edinger, right?
Yes.
He jumped over. Anyway,
supposedly. Is that the name? Eldridge.
Eldridge.
Not Edinger.
Edinger?
You just made that up.
It was close.
Go ahead.
Guys, we're recording these even later at night than normal. And if you want facts, talk to a professor. You want fun? You come on down to the Boogie Monster.
A boogie, a boogie, a boogie.
Boogie, a boogie, a boogie. That was my impression of the dude from Clutch.
That was so
funny.
I go out
and see Clutch live. I'm like, this guy just makes Boogie Monster sounds.
And then that one song, he really did.
Yeah, I think it's Earth Rocker. He's like, it's like you're trying to make a baby laugh, but you're really just scaring it. great band to see live.
Oh, though, man, we had so much fun that night. Yeah. That was at the House of Blues.
That was R.I.P. House of Blues.
Oh, man. Love that band.
But anyway, he was part of that, but he allegedly traveled into the future to like sometime in the 2600s or the 2900s. And there's some stuff on YouTube you could find of him showing what maps of the world. And now the maps he was pointing out were just from 2020 to 2025. So we're talking less than 4 years from now.
Yeah.
Predicted sea level rising. It seemed pretty extreme, those maps. But he was saying, like, oh, California's gone. New York's gone.
According to him and those maps, the Atlantic Ocean overtakes Georgia and goes to just 3 miles outside of Atlanta, where right now Atlanta is 100 miles from the ocean. At that point, Atlanta was 3 miles from the ocean.
But he had all these points about water, sea level rising and how it affects globally, but I didn't hear him mention what causes it.
I didn't either. Yeah. I have no idea.
What if that's like a global terrorism threat? As if you wanted to shoot nuclear missiles into the Arctic Circle to melt the ice caps. Man, I'm like a supervillain.
Yeah, man. Well,
this is what supervillains think about.
Well, this makes me think of this point, and this may be a whole episode in and of itself, but how most of our
I'm only laughing at how many of these things were like, well, I guess we could talk about that one somewhere another time.
Most of these theories, a lot of them funnel back towards the possibility and the concept of the New World Order.
Yep.
And global depopulation.
Yep.
Weather manipulation. All right. What if, and a lot of people think we already know and do manipulate the weather.
They do stuff to try and stoke the clouds to rain and this and that.
So answering your question about how the sea levels change, apparently, in 2025. What if the NWO manipulates the weather so much that it creates the ocean to overtake land, thus helping the global depopulation concept?
That seems like such a destructive way to do it. But then that ties back into, all right, you have the, what is it, 500 million?
Mm-hmm.
Pre-selected.
And in those videos that you're talking about, he does reference. I don't remember hearing him talk about the map from 2020 to 2025?
Yeah, yeah.
There's another one where he goes to 2137, does the same thing, talks about the geography, but in that he several times references that at this point in time, we've whittled it down to 500 million.
It was there was population control. Right. So then what's the – because think of your cultural and tech and economic epicenters on the coast. In my head right now, I'm like New York and San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So this five – do you just get your special letter saying, hey, we want you to come to Denver this weekend because some shit's going to go down. I guess the world wouldn't flood in a day.
Yeah.
But, like, is that – okay, if it's happening slow enough, then it's not going to kill anybody. They're just going to move inward.
Okay.
If it's catastrophic, I don't think it could happen – mass flooding like this would happen. Like, it would take years and years and years.
Yeah, just kind of how the Earth has – changed and altered itself throughout the course of history.
Yeah, like a Pangaic rate of this. So the fact that he thinks this is what's going to happen in 5 years. Again, like this one, I was kind of on the fence about what he was thinking.
Yeah.
But just to speculate on it, I still like my supervillain theory of using nuclear missiles to melt the ice caps. And I have no idea how much water that would be.
I mean, it does sound...
Where's all that water going to come from?
Exactly. I mean, it sounds like you did just kind of pull that out of your ass. But if you really do think about it, is that an impossibility that they couldn't do that?
But even in the projected, there's Al Bielek's theory about the flooding. Where's all that water come from? That much water. That much sea level rising.
Well, from melted ice caps.
But how does he know that there's that much? Okay. That's where some science. We're going to have to get like a scientist to just sit in on these things. We need a fact checker. I think we're getting to the point.
Oh, my God. Do we need a fact
checker? Somebody jumping in going like, all right, you guys both have your heads up your asses. If the polarized caps melt globally, everything would raise by a foot. It's not going to take out all of California. I mean, there might be some puddles. You might get some puddles over in Glendale.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. But it doesn't sound like an impossibility.
I just like the diabolical theory of that's how you can take it out. But what are the other causes? More so, a lack of water.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think the new wars will be over water.
I kind of...
Droughts, global droughts, that's going to affect vegetation.
Yep. It's going to affect farming.
So then you're going to have... Yeah, you're going to have... riots and
I do kind of feel, and again, just total fireside bullshit, but I feel like we're going to run out of resources. I feel like that's a thing I could see happening. Knowing nothing of what the standards of production are now,
or is technology advancing at a rate where it will come up solar energy, wind energy, and translating that into somehow figuring out like mass desalination of seawater.
I was just about to say that, yeah.
Fresh water for all these. Yeah, I don't. Well, I think the resources thing. I do think that human beings, like, I think we've overstayed our welcome.
Yes.
For a while.
Yeah.
And the Earth as a living planet is really just being polite right now. Like, it's really like. Guys, it's 3 a.m. I don't know if you noticed, but everybody else left. And we're trying to shut it down. We're like, nah, man, let's have one more. Like,
but more and more people keep coming have one to more. The party.
Yeah, yeah, we called up some friends.
We don't have room for any more friends.
I think that's something we deal with. Yeah.
That's something we deal with right here in California. I mean, ever since I moved here 5 years ago, you keep hearing, hey, we're about to run out of water. So what are we going to do about that?
Yeah, but it's not like we helped it going, yeah, but I want to make funny funnies for a living, so
but what
give
are
me
we?
Some of that water.
What is California's plan? Do you know?
I mean, well, I guess they said during the drought we actually saved a lot. Catalina was bad. Catalina has like one-fifth of the reservoir they need to have to support. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you even still allowing people here other than the fact that that's the only economy you have? Is tourism. But you order water in a restaurant there, you get a bottle of water, you pay 50 cents for like a bottle of Mountain Spring or something. Because they can't give you water out of the tap.
But how close are we to solving that problem with like desalinization? How do you say
I don't know. I read one thing once. it was like in the Middle East because their surplus is oil.
Mm-hmm.
That they have a way of desalination because it's a desert, so they don't have fresh water, but they have a desalination plant. But the amount of gasoline that it used to fuel the engine to do the desalination, it was some astronomical. Like they compared it to all the cars of a certain major city in rush hour. They use that much gas every day just to make fresh water for maybe Dubai or something. Or something like that. I think...
We can't just run it through a Brita.
Give it a shot, man.
Hmm.
I thought you can, like, if you collect it... I've watched all that Survivor Man shit. And it's something, if you just get it... man.
If you could drink your own pee, can we figure out how to do the same thing but with ocean water?
You can drink it. It's not going to make you... It's, quality of life isn't there if you're just drinking your own pee.
Yeah.
Like, that's a last-ditch resource.
Well, it depends. But
sometimes you got to try stuff.
I don't know. That's something that's always been on my mind. It's just, oops, we're out of stuff.
We were talking about design issues, earthenly design issues. I understand how some stuff isn't biodegradable. Because everything came from this earth.
Mm-hmm.
It all came. None of it came from outer space.
Mm-hmm.
It came from the planet that made it.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic came from Earth. Humans came from Earth. Humans said, give me these things, I'm going to make plastic. Give me all these elements out of whatever, give me the ingredients, and out of those ingredients, they made plastic, and there's like, nah, we don't want plastic.
It's a great
point.
But
the ingredients are from Earth. Now, obviously I'm being flippant about the, come on, stupid Earth. It's because human beings have tinkered with things too much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will the morality of this tinkering right itself, or is it advancing faster than the morality is? That's my problem. When you're talking about running out of resources, it's because it's a lot of we can, not enough we should.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I get to the point of like, yeah, that's why we just make a bunch of shit. Nobody thinks about how all the waste that they create. Nobody thinks about all the waste that they put out, the storage of just what. All your bullshit, like, I'm an environmentalist, and so now here's 30,000 Instagram pictures that have to take up space in some storage unit in a mountain somewhere. Like, that's stored somewhere. That there's a physical representation of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my favorite joke. I'm like, vegans with iPhones, I always laugh. I'm like, you know how many monkeys and dogs had to shoot into space so you could have that technology? And I was like, I don't know either, but the rhetoric's real good there. Like, it sounds like a good soundbite. You know, it's a good soundbite.
Yeah, I don't know either. But it's probably a lot.
For some, probably some.
Man, that's a good point. Like, it's scary to think about. Just
so what's I mean my kind like I'm not living off the grid. I'm not sitting there under a solar panel drinking my own pee, but
well, we're
I'm also not having five kids.
Exactly. That's a contribution.
I get it. It's wonderful, but where's the guarantee? Where's the stamp that says these won't be assholes? That's a cold thing to say. Like, you better do a damn good job with those kids. When they're like, when everybody's like, oh, who's going to take care of you? If you're not going to have kids, who's going to take care of you when you're older? Oh, all your kids are going to be doctors?
Yeah.
Because define take care of.
I think.
You mean sort out your finances?
Mm-hmm.
Realize I'm saying that about my own living parents. I'm like, guys, I'm just going to use all this disposable income I save by not having kids to help you out. All right, mom and dad, cool.
Well, and that is what they mean, who is going to take care of you. They, you know, they don't mean physically.
Robots are going to take care of me.
I mean,
we're in the future now.
I've thought about that, trust me. Dying alone.
No, man, they're going to download your brain. You're going to download your soul onto a thumb drive, and you're going to be your kid's screensaver. It's fine.
Yeah.
Man, this whole thing's like a real good Black Mirror episode. Yeah, you should see the air quotes I put around real good in that sentence.
Well, it could be. The other thing that's always in the back of our minds that I feel like people are always chirping is a natural disaster like a comet. Or an asteroid.
Yeah.
That could be, you know.
Something happened last week. Like, one came within 2,000 miles of satellites and another distance from Earth. Like, it's a further distance. But it was, like, a very close call with an asteroid.
Jeez. Well, I mean, it's obviously happened before, you know.
Oh, yeah. There's craters.
Dinosaurs.
But also, what is that? But the craters that are out there, like, do they ever say how much that would affect things? Would it cause earthquakes around the Earth? Maybe that's a thing. Asteroid hits, not bad at the impact, but causes a bunch of, you know, seismic activity.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that's what's happening in Oklahoma right now. They're having way more earthquakes because they keep shooting the wastewater from all their oil and gas drilling into the ground.
Explain that. I haven't heard that story.
Okay. Knowing nothing about it, I think there's a lot of wastewater. There's some... The oil and gas drilling produces wastewater.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure why or how, but contaminated water that I think to get rid of, they're shooting into the ground. Or maybe...
What do you mean shooting it into the ground?
Man, Stop asking me questions.
Like a reverse.
I'm already pedaling backwards here.
Like the reverse concept of a well, of digging a well.
Yeah, I think they're trying to dispose of it. Or like, what's the fracking thing? Is that where they shoot? What, man?
That is funny concept of like, here, we'll hide this down here.
Yeah.
This is where this goes.
Put it under, sweep it under Earth's rug. What's a landfills are? We don't even have hills in the Midwest. We just went, you always just go sledding on landfills.
Man, that's creepy to think about landfills as far as just...
Yeah, big old just temple full of trash.
Oh, man. And a landfill from 100 years ago. What's going on inside that ground right now?
Well, that's when you see the natural gas things coming up. That's all the fumes from it.
Uh-huh.
They're burning them off, all the trash. It's just we've done... We've overstayed. We've been party guests that trash the house.
That's true. Real quick side note. When I was 10 years old for my birthday, I wanted to go to the dump for my birthday. I went to a dump when I was like
you
9.
You a Beavis and Butthead cartoon?
For the first time. I remember the first time I went to a dump and like... All right, there's the part of the dump that is all the trash bags.
Yeah.
And then I went to a part of the dump that just had furniture. There was like chairs and old refrigerators, and it blew my mind. As a dumb little 9-year-old, I was just like, look, that stuff's for free. And it was like an outdoor flea market, but at a dump. And I was fascinated by it. And then a couple months later, my birthday came up. My parents were like, what do you want to do for your birthday? I was like, I want to go to the dump. And they were like, we're not going to the dump, you idiot. But I wanted to just go hang out and pick through it and find me a soccer ball and a fishing pole and a table.
I could see, though, being 10. Like, we just had a kind of like a crummy swamp by my house, and it was the most fascinating place. So yeah. It had some BMX tracks around it, but then it had just still sitting water that was just, it was just mosquito nest. But then somebody would like throw a shopping cart in it with a plank on it, so you'd try and walk across, and you just fall and get tadpoles in your shoes. Yeah, I'm laughing at it. But it's also, I would totally see why that's excited. Hey, don't know what, that's what a wonderful age when you don't know what trash is.
Man, it blew my mind. I couldn't.
And how that made like, your parents
this,
feel.
Why is this free?
When your parents have nice furniture and a roof over your head. Like, he wants to go sit on dirty chairs at the dump.
Man, I still do it to a certain degree. When I'm walking home and on the sidewalk, somebody puts out an old table or a TV. Now, I'm
see.
Like,
the
I
temptation,
might take that.
Yeah, of a free recycled item. Without a doubt.
But all my friends are like, bed bugs. I'm like, I'll take my chance.
Yeah, that bed bugs really put the kibosh on a lot of stuff. I haven't had bed bugs.
It's a miracle neither one of us have had bed bugs.
Knock on wood.
As many shitty hotels as I've stayed in.
I was just talking to the show this week, and I was talking with like band dudes. Everybody talking about like, oh yeah, I got scabies from this. I got bed bugs from this. I'm like, ugh. It's like non-sexually transmitted diseases. Well,
I'm sorry, I sidetracked us.
This whole episode's a sidetrack. It's okay. We get to talk about whatever we want here. And we got into some conspiracy. It's still some more New World Order stuff.
Yeah, I feel like it all funnels back to that, man.
I feel a little negative about being like the man, fuck your kids thing. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying,
yeah.
That maybe not everybody needs to have one.
Well, we talked about this before in a previous episode about global depopulation, but we've flirted with the New World Order, but we haven't really sunk our teeth into it. But here's the moral or ethical conflict is, okay, the 500 million. It's like, okay, yes, we need, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
To lower the population by a great percentage, but that also means 90% of the population needs to go away.
It
so that's the...
But it doesn't mean kill him. It means stop fucking for
exactly,
a while.
Exactly. Exactly. I was watching an interview on Fox News recently.
We covered this, too, though. We did talk about this.
Yeah. But, like, yes, that's the point of it. And I know we've talked about it, but I'm talking about the actual moral conflict, the ethical conflict. I was watching some interview on Fox News, and the anchor or the host was just... She was interviewing some guy who was pro... population control in the sense of procreation, but she kept hitting him over the head with that just means people have gotta die. And he was like, no, idiot, just like what you said, we're not saying kill everybody, we're saying from this day forward ease up on the procreation, and then in a couple of hundred years maybe we'll be where
more
we need to be,
access to birth control.
So, and I feel like it's kind of a combination of both. I feel like the government's trying to kill us. But they also are, we also need to take it upon ourselves to also control the procreation.
But also the ego involved with, like, I need to put more. I need to put more. The idea of pride that gets in your head if you're like, oh, I don't have – I got to put more. I'm the last one. Bloodline's going to come down.
And it is ego because it's like, okay, I don't know how you would categorize my genes, but are they good enough that it's just absolutely a must that I pass these genetics on to someone? You know?
That's why we got them Nazi scientists from Operation Paperclip. They're coming over here. They're built. They're fucking superhumans and other superhumans making super duper humans. They got it, everybody. The Nazi scientists we demanded work for us in the mind control departments will have the people that are going to be perfect for Earth. So you don't need yours.
Well, and here's a glowing representation of why we have too many people already. One of the negative side effects to that is a lot of people are impolite, ungrateful assholes.
Well,
and I'll give you a specific example.
Okay.
Behind the wheel. I have a bit about this. I'm not just rehashing a bit, but it's something I deal with literally every day, and every day it pisses me off more and more. I'm a friendly driver. I feel like it's easy karma. I am. I've got road rage like a son of a bitch, but I give everybody the benefit of the doubt, and I try to be a friendly driver because I feel like it's a way to do some good in the world no matter how minute of, hey, stranger who's trying to get into traffic, a row of cars 50 deep, and 49 of them are like, fuck that person. Hey, go ahead and go in front of me. So I try to do that.
Yeah.
And I do that.
You do.
But 95% of the time in Los Angeles, when I do say, hey, stranger, go right ahead, right this way, they just look at me like, yeah, no shit, idiot. No thank you, not even an eyebrow lift, no acknowledgement of the small kind deed that I just did.
But how about the idea that the ego that you have thinking they're doing it personally to you as opposed to they're absent-minded and just be like, oh, yeah, I got to get over, two hands on the wheel.
No, and it's not me. It's
that's how I – because I get road rage and I'm like, wait a minute, that's because I take it all personally.
And I get that, but I truly don't think that's what it is. It's not an ego to me. It's I don't need them to thank me. I'm just saying, what kind of an asshole are you that you wouldn't even think to do that?
Well, they weren't raised right. They weren't raised
95% of the people? All right. Well, fucking figure it out. It all goes back to my theory. Are you an idiot or are you an asshole? Which one is it? Because either way, go fuck yourself. Are you just dumb and don't know any better to thank somebody for a small kind deed? Or are you just an asshole who's like, yeah, thanks, kiss my ass?
The most aggressive you might be a redneck type of bit I've ever heard.
And I get it. Like, oh, but, well, here's the reason that I continue to do it time and time again. So it's not I need to be rewarded for my good deed. It's just, Jesus, how really you can't even – you're so up your own ass, Mr. Other Driver, that you can't acknowledge the kind gesture I just did?
I understand. I think it's several factors. You're on the road for a living. That's why I like the patience of truck drivers. I don't know. Those have to be the most patient individuals.
Yeah.
Or it's just because you don't have the quick response, so you just have to simmer in it.
Yeah. Simmer in it.
Just simmer.
But do you understand, like, Yes, I understand how someone could say that I'm the narcissist, that I need to be thanked for my good deed. But it's just, I'm tired of living in a world where we can't be polite to one another.
I know, but then some people don't see that part of the world as a priority of politeness.
Well, what's going through their minds?
Like when some, probably nothing, nothing at all. I'd like to get in. They let me in. Great. This is traffic. There's, you know, like certain cultures that don't use please or thank you. And automatically that comes off as rude, but it's just their culture. They don't say those things in their culture. It doesn't mean they aren't purposely being like, fuck you, and I'm not saying thank mm-hmm. you or please to you. That's just how they operate, and it doesn't and that's how it translates, you know?
Okay, well, here's an experiment then, and I don't know the answer to this because I can't see it through their point of view. The same person who just refuses to acknowledge that I just did that to them, mm-hmm. are those people letting people into traffic?
I don't know.
That's what I want to
know. Maybe they are. I'm like you, man. I take it personally. Mm-hmm. I take it real personally. I take it so personally, I go into like fantasy mode.
Mm-hmm.
More so when I'm put at risk, like dangerous things. Like mm-hmm. you're trying to make a left turn and it blows the red light.
Yeah.
That's the stuff. Like not letting me in. I'm just like, oh, you're probably a shithead, whatever. But that kind of stuff, like I'll fantasize about their death.
Yeah.
Like I'll think about how they die. Like in like bad scenarios. And that's where I've almost been like, man, maybe I should talk to somebody. Because that shouldn't occupy, I'll think about it like 8 hours later. I still remember what a dude looked like in a Nissan Altima that wouldn't let me merge and almost ran me into the wall on the 101. And that was 10 months ago.
Well, see, that side of road rage even makes more sense than my little why didn't you say thank you. Them not saying thank you doesn't put me in harm's way.
You just want a nicer place out there.
Yeah, I do. But people who suck at driving, who are dangerous and aggressive at driving, that's a whole nother level of assholery.
Self-centered, yeah.
Because it's like, dude, you're putting lives in danger. That's the other thing. People who drive every day and you still suck that much at it, put forth some effort. Pay attention. Well, take some pride in what you're doing, not for any other reason other than safety. You're going to kill somebody, you idiot.
Take some pride, whether you're a steak chef at Chili's or just somebody on their commute. Dave wants you to have a little pride in who you are.
Put forth some effort, man. Like when I see someone parking all shitty, that's the best you could do. You're okay with that. You got out of the car
and said that's
fine.
Two sides of this apocalyptic worldview we share is the world's ending. Why don't you be a little bit nicer to everybody? Or the world's ending. Fuck this parking space.
It's true. It's a great, great quandary
How are you going out?
I don't know. And by all means, and I know it sounds self-righteous.
Yeah, man.
But like, I want to live in a world where people, A, are friendlier, and B, whatever the fuck they're doing, they do it not perfect, but a little better than you're doing it now.
You just want a world of just little Asian ladies in Mickey Mouse hats. You want It's a Small World. That's what you want. It's all coming back to that. You want to live in It's a Small World.
And I'm sorry, I got all worked up today. I don't know what's wrong with me.
You got a little...
I feel like I yelled.
You got a little piss in your vinegar or something.
It's all right. It's not you, buddy.
I know, man. I don't take it
personally. It's not the people listening.
No, the kind souls out there.
I just...
Oh, shit, man. I don't remember their name. Like, people sent nice artwork in. But that we'll put that up with official, with links to who did the stuff.
And anybody else who wants to do that, feel free. Another dude sent us a comic, made a cool comic.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Let's have
a name so we can direct people to them.
I should have the name.
It's October 11th. When this comes out, it'll be October 11th,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, 12:33. Yeah. And then you'll be back from tour by then.
Yeah, I got back yesterday.
Theoretically. Man, it's like time travel.
And you know where I'm at tonight?
Where you at tonight?
Theoretically, if things, if the future works out the way it's supposed to, I'm watching the Drive-By Truckers in Los Angeles.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. They play the 11th and 12th of October.
Oh, damn.
We'll try to go to at least one night, if
I
not
got a
two.
Kick. I'll be out of town. I got to get it. My special will be out Saturday night on the 15th on Comedy
shit,
Central.
Shit, yeah. What's the name of it?
Loose in Chicago.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Because it's not a real tight set.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thanks,
you're
man.
Too humble. You never let anybody compliment you. But right, that's a nice achievement, buddy.
It's
that's your
there.
Third hour special.
Just got to get the next one out.
Your fourth overall hour, including your first album.
Man, I got
third. That's, dude, congrats. That's a
thanks,
nice
buddy.
That's a nice accomplishment.
Well, thank you, buddy.
I mean, they all suck, but,
man,
you know.
Quantity, not quality. That's what you get.
You know I'm kidding.
All right. Well, we kind of, it was like it was all over, but it made sense.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I derailed us.
There was no rail to begin with for this one.
Who's our comic of the week?
Who? Shit. Who we say? Oh, I was gonna say Jackie Cation.
Jackie Cation.
Jackie Cation. Yeah.
Very funny lady.
She's been around for a while, and sometimes I don't think she gets the recognition she deserves.
Yep.
She always makes me laugh a whole bunch when I see her. And she has a podcast called The Dork Forest, which I was on years ago when I talked about ghosts. So it's kind of a foreshadowing of where we're at now.
It's such a friendly lady, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know her very well, but we've done a lot of shows together. And every time we do a show, just so jolly.
Midwestern politeness.
Yep.
It's from certain regions. It's a regional trait sometimes.
I bet Jackie Cation throws up a thank you wave when people let her into traffic.
She probably does. I bet she should. She's from Wisconsin. They tend to drive very politely.
Yep.
Well, so go check her out. Yeah, she's got albums, and like I said, The Dork Forest.
Do we know how to spell her name off the top of her head?
Cation.
Sounds right.
Or A-I-N. Ah, shit.
Tours with Maria Bamford quite a bit.
Yeah, opens for Maria a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. You betcha.
The Boogie Monster.